Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan and Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. What about the plaque? Is it okay to be single for the rest of your life? And Jason Mantzoukas joins me for a Quar Chat about Fast 10 and the implications of Vin Diesel's post. All this and more on a brand new How Did This Get Made mini episode. Hit the theme! Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to a How Did This Get Made mini episode. I am your host, Tall John Shear, and boy, oh boy, we got a big old show. Last week, we tried to break it down, but you brought so much more to the table. I cannot wait to share with you some corrections and omissions. Jason Mantzoukas is joining us in just a little bit, and he rattles off a list of things that I want to watch, read, and listen to that. Get out your pens, get out your fucking paper, or just join us on the Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm, because on the Discord, they keep track of everything that we talk about. We're going to talk about the whole Vin Diesel Instagram post about The Rock. If you don't know about it, don't worry about it. Just sit back and relax. But I want to give a big thank you to Francis Day for that amazing, that hot, that fresh theme song. By the way, if you've not noticed, every Monday, we have started this new thing called Matinee Monday, where we release an old episode from the back catalog. This past week, it was Face Off. Next week, we have Stealth. And you know who the guest on that is? Charlie Sanders. We love Charlie Sanders. He is the creator of an amazing show that, if you've not checked it out, I think you will love it. It was called Weird City. He and Jordan Peele created it together. It's kind of a comedy Twilight Zone. It's on YouTube. It's very, very good. But this is way before that. Stealth is an older episode. So check out Matinee Monday, and you can check out samples of all the episodes with a brand new digital video series that I am hosting on my YouTube channel, where we just kind of go back, pull out a little section of it, and talk about the episode as is. And a big thank you to the Wall Street Journal for writing that amazing article about How Did This Get Made and We Hate Movies, as well as Blank Check Podcast, which, you know, Jason and I love Blank Check Podcast. We've been on, we've talked for hours at length on the Blank Check Podcast. And the Blank Check Podcast is the source of contention this week because apparently they just released an episode about old in which they loved old. So we are at odds. Are we at war right now because of our opinions about an M. Night movie? We will see. But without any further ado, let's get into the show because we have so much to do. So much to do, so much to talk about. And let's get started with hearing from you. That's right, enough of my yapping. Let me hear what you need your help with because I am the problem solver. I am Paul Scheer, and this is my helpline. Hit it!
To call 619-AAULASS or ask. Your choice.
Thank you, Tyler Mann. Look, here's the deal. I'm trying my best to help you all. I got razzed on the Discord. I don't know if it was my Discord or how did this get made's Discord. You can join my Discord at discord.gg/Paul Scheer. We have 5,000 members in the Paul Scheer Discord, and it's been so good. We're doing a 5K celebration. Thank you all for being there. Thank you to our mods. Thank you to all the great conversation. But the issue that people were hitting me up about last week was that people thought that my advice to the guy who didn't like sports was buck up and enjoy sports. And that was not my advice at all. I'm going to just come out right now and say my advice was simply, if you don't like sports, if you are forced to watch them, or you find yourself in a situation where everyone is doing that, find a way in. Find a narrative that might make it more interesting for you instead of trying to learn the entire game or have a conversation about it in a very big way. Other people suggested, why don't you just let your friends talk about sports to you? Just ask them questions. Let them express themselves. Other people said, make new friends. I don't think that that's what you were going for. Either way, I don't think you need to bend. I don't think you need to break. I don't think you need to change friends just because your friends like sports. I think you may want to change friends because they're like, kind of like schoolyard, like shitting on you. Like, oh, hey, daddy didn't throw the ball. Like, that's like fucking John Hughes movie villain shit. Anyway, I just wanted to clarify. I did not just say like sports. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm getting all worked up about it. Avery from Seattle. What's up?
Hi, Paul, Cody, and Devin. It's Avery over in Seattle. Big fan, first time caller. I just was hoping for some advice because I have a bit of an issue with my upstairs neighbors. I live in a duplex and I'm in the basement. And we share, like garbage and recycling bins. And I just do not know what to do because they are always filling it up to the brim. Like, I wish this call line had a photo element so I could show you right now just how full a recycling bin is with, like, just unbroken down boxes, you know, just the works. And, they've also started to do something that really bothers me, which is if the bin is full, they've just started piling trash up next to the bin, which is a problem for me specifically because the bins are right next to my front door. So I get home from work after a long day and I feel like I'm just living in a trash house. Like, it's really gross and sad and it looks terrible. And so I'm wondering what you think I should do. Should I, find a polite way to talk to my neighbors about this, even though I don't really know them at all and they don't really know me? Or should I go over their heads and snitch on them to the landlord? And I don't really feel super good about doing that, but I also don't feel like discussing it with them one-on-one will necessarily fix this. But maybe you have some advice, and thank you for the show.
Avery, this is a really good, really good question because the normal thing, I think the thing that everyone might ask or might tell you to do is just go and talk to them. But we all know that's an uncomfortable situation. You don't want to be put in that situation. We all know that you don't want to be a tattletale either. I think the way that I would do it in two ways. First of all, I would call my local garbage collecting company and see if I could get another garbage can. And then I would mark one garbage can for me and one garbage can for them. I know I've added garbage cans to my house and it only costs like $10 more a month or whatever it is. So that would be my first line of defense. Just avoid the problem entirely and then label the can. The other, here's a super passive aggressive way to do it. You put a note on the garbage can. Please make sure you cut down your boxes from landlord name and you tape it in there. Is that bad? Maybe that's bad. I shouldn't do that. But I hate that these garbage cans are in front of your house. I hate that you have to walk by a bunch of garbage. That totally sucks. My window in my first New York City apartment was literally in front of where the deli in front of my building just threw all their garbage. In the summer, it fucking stank. I couldn't open up any of my windows. And then to make matters worse, it was also where people pissed at night because they were too drunk to like find a bathroom. So they just pissed in front of my window. It was disgusting. I understand that. I couldn't do anything about that because legally the deli was in their right to put all their trash bags right there. Oh boy. So look, I know I said it's uncomfortable and I wouldn't recommend you doing it, but I do think a conversation, if you hit a wall with maybe getting an extra trash can, might just be like, hey, can we cut up the boxes? Cause I can't fit anything inside of it. Or even just appeal to them and going, hey, actually, how about this? How about a letter? And make sure the letter is not super confrontational. Like, hey, just want to write you a letter. I know we don't know each other. This is not trying to be confrontational at all. I've been having trouble fitting my garbage in the cans. Can we just start cutting up boxes? Because I think it'll give us both enough room. Something like that. Easy. You know, you go out of your way to make it like a non-confrontational letter, you know, and you, hey, I'm so-and-so. This is my thing. Don't mean to be a dick. Not that you have to say a dick, but you could, you know, just like make it like that. Now, this is what Cody said. And I like Cody because Cody's fucking smart and she's better than me. And Cody says this. She thinks you should email the landlord so they can send an email reminder. She said that her neighbors do this, so maybe it works. I like that. You know what? We're all saying the same thing. Or we're not. We're actually not saying the same thing. I gave you a bunch of different options. I say pick the one that is the least offensive to you, but I would start with just ordering another trash can. And then telling the landlord, hey, I had to order another trash can because they just fill it up too much and my place looks like a junk heap. Also, I want to add, try to find a place for that fucking garbage can, not in front of your door. Can you find another spot for it? Can you do something? Like, I would say try to do that. That's the most important thing. All right, next question. Go for it. What do you got?
Hey, Paul. This is Liam from Ontario, and I've been separated for a few years now, happily co-parenting a youngster in elementary school, and this is my question. Prior to getting married, having a kid, and being separated, I basically was in one relationship after another, sort of serial monogamous. And for the past few years, I've just been single. And I guess what's weird about it is that I just have little to no desire to date. And so I was just curious. You probably know a lot of young families and maybe some people that have been separated. And I was just wondering, am I going to be single forever? Okay, cool, man. Take care.
Ooh, this is a good question. Yes. No. What if I just, that was it. Just yes. And then we moved on. Look, man, if you are not into dating, great. Like, who cares? Like, will you be single for the rest of your life? I don't know. I have no idea. But if you were looking for love, I could say, hey, here are some things you might want to consider doing. Here are some ways you can get out there. Here are some ways that you can meet people that doesn't feel like dating. Or here's a way to meet people that actually is like actively trying to find someone. But I think what you're saying to me is, I'm okay with where I'm at. And if you're okay with where you're at, then be okay with it. And that opportunity to find love, that opportunity to be in a relationship will come around when the time is right. And if you want to make it more proactive, you can, but don't give yourself guilt for doing something that I'm not going to say makes you happy, but that you're content with, as long as you're not settling. And sometimes, you know, the worst thing that we can do is be uncomfortable with what we settle on, right? Because we made a choice. If you made a choice, I don't want to date right now, then that decision's off your plate And then you don't have to think about it again. And then if you make another decision later on, be like, oh, I do want a date, then that decision back on your plate. But you don't want to waste time after you've made a decision. And it sounds to me like you made a decision. This is where you want to be. If you want to find love, the opportunities are there. If you want to find love in a month, 6 months, 2 years, there will be opportunities. But don't give yourself grief about it now. If you're happy, keep on doing what you do. Thank you so much for your calls. Give me a call anytime at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK, 619-728-5275. By the way, we love these original listener songs that we've heard throughout the episode. And if you want to send me one, please do. We need it for Mailbag and Helpline and Corrections and Omissions and the theme song. Send it to howdidthisgetmadeatearwolf.com. And remember, 30 seconds or less is the sweet spot. We'll be right back right after this commercial. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes, that's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Texas Pete! Oh my gosh, I love Texas Pete. It is the hot sauce that allows you to sauce like you mean it. All right, Texas Pete sauce is packed with bold and balanced flavor. I've loved Texas Pete for years. When I got a box of their stuff at my house, I was so psyched, because what I love about their hot sauce is their tanginess, okay? You can use it on anything, and you're going to try every flavor. I mean, you got the original, which is great. That's fermented peppers. It's a special blend. Then you got the hotter hot sauce, which is 3 times hotter than the original. And believe me, it is not for the faint of heart. Then you got Sabor by Texas Pete, which adds an authentic Mexican flavor. And I got to tell you, that might be my favorite, next to their dust dry seasoning, which matches the flavor of the original hot sauce in a flavorful dry rub. It is so, so great. Texas Pete. Sauce like you mean it. Visit TexasPete.com and use the store locator to find Texas Pete products, as well as purchase sauces and get recipe inspiration. And use the promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off at TexasPete.com. Now, while you are preparing for next week, it seems like we might have dropped the ball on some things from last week's episode. And we're turning the show over to you as you give us some...
June, Paul, they correct themselves, but they can't correct them all. If you got a missions, corrections with Paul, just pick up the phone and you give him a call. You just give him a call. 1-800-GET-PAUL-ASK, you can make a call.
That's right, Corrections and Omissions. That was Chris Purcell. Boy, oh boy. I cannot wait to get into some old talk with you all, because you all figured out some things about old that I'd never quite put together. Let's go right to the Discord. Dr. Guts 1003 writes, the movie Rufus Sewell's character keeps on asking about, starring Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando, is the 1976 film The Missouri Breaks. It's a Western about a horse thief and a man hired to hunt the thief down. In an interview promoting Old, M. Night explained why Sewell's character keeps on asking about the movie. He said it's from my dad, who actually has some dementia, and he would not stop talking about Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando and this movie that they were in. And I was like, Dad, I've never seen it. And he goes, Jack Nicholson, Marlon Brando. And he kept on going on and on about it. And I was like, Dad, I'm putting this in a movie if you keep on talking about it. And he did. For me, it represents this thing that someone's holding on to for their sanity. Everyone must know these are the two greatest actors of all time. Why doesn't anyone know about this? And they can't understand this, but they're holding on to it. It was a kind of funny, sad, beautiful thing about my dad in cinema. Apparently, after the filming on Old Wrapped, he gave everyone in the cast a Missouri Breaks t-shirt. That actually is quite beautiful. And I'm kind of interested in this. I don't want to go too far ahead because we have a call coming up about this. But, you know, M. Night's dad is suffering from dementia. And Rufus Sewell's character is, if I'm not mistaken, called schizophrenic. I don't know why he wouldn't make the character in the film have dementia, because that seems to me a lot more like, and I think this would make the movie make a lot more sense, that if the character had dementia. We'll get into why I think this is actually a very good point in just a second, because we have a phone call coming up that will, I think, pull us all together and make it so much more confusing. GT75 writes, when the shuttle drops off the guests, all the guests carry their own chairs, umbrellas, and food from the van to the beach, and later we see some rusty silverware left behind by a previous group. If everyone who goes to that beach as a guest dies, and it's next to impossible to get away from it, what happens to all that beach equipment? Shouldn't the sands be littered with hundreds of chairs and umbrellas, since the staff should have no practical way to retrieve them? Also, how did the people at the pharmaceutical company that discovered the beach survive to be able to exploit it? Great, great questions. Do they have a suit? Can they run in there? I mean, are we absolutely positive? Are we absolutely positive that there is no way out? I mean, I guess we are. I mean, it's a great question. And this is the issue that I have with the movie. And I know, look, I'm not trying to pick apart a fantasy. It's a fantasy and we shouldn't get all into the nitty gritty of it. But to me, it seems like no one did any of the thinking, the real thinking about this, and it pisses me off. Cameron H. writes, while I get the need for additional food to account for the children's rapid aging, the movie also specifically states that everything ages 2 years per hour. Within a few minutes, all of that packed food should have been completely inedible. Well, maybe it was full of Twinkies. But by the way, maybe those chairs they brought, they aged too. Could they age? Can furniture age? I mean, I guess it can, right? It can be weathered. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, Cameron H. goes on to say, even if the wrapper can somehow thwart the aging process, things are aging super fast. We're told 2 years per 60 minutes. I'm still working on the exact math, but that's 6 months and 15 minutes, 3 months and 7.5 minutes, etc. The reason why the baby dies from neglect is that a month's pass in minutes for it. So as soon as you expose that mayonnaise pasta salad to Old Beach, it's going to rot, unless the scientists have developed some kind of unspoilable, age-resistant food. But if that's the case, they're in the wrong business. Now, I would normally have a reply to this, but Corgi Herder simply says, bones turn to dust, but sandwiches are forever. And truthfully, here's the thing. I think maybe it only ages people, not food, and not chairs. I don't know. I don't know. And it makes me angry that they wouldn't even explain it. I read one here from Chase Blogger, right? And Chase Blogger, I thought, really nailed it. I don't know if this has been mentioned yet, but my wife and I were watching last night and followed up with the episode, they established the rules that the bodies on the beach age 50 years and 24 hours. Illnesses progress faster, wounds heal faster, pregnancy comes to term in 30 minutes, the baby didn't eat enough to live, and the kids complained about being so hungry during puberty. If all of these bodily functions happen at accelerating rates, then why were some functions excluded? Yes, get into it, Chase Blogger. All right, they should have been growing hair, beards, long fingernails like crazy. And if one person takes a crap even once per day, that's 365 craps per year. Everyone on that beach should have been running around with insanely long nails and hair, just consistently trying to eat and taking about 18,250 dumps in a day. Chase Blogger, damn it, you are so right. And with that, we turn this over to the phones. Andrew in New York, what's going on?
Hi, Paul. My name's Andrew. I'm from New York City. I just have a bit of an omission for Old. I watched that movie with my wife. That doesn't really matter, but we watched it, and at the end, we find out that the two kids, now 50-year-olds, were able to escape by going through the coral, and they kind of leave that, like, up to us as the audience to be like, oh, did they make it? Did they not make it? And Knight drives back without them to the resort, and then they just show up at the resort, and it's another instance of him playing coy with something that, you know, we probably already know. But then I didn't question it at all, because like you guys said, like with the Twilight Zone episode, you don't want to poke too many holes because then it just kind of loses the whole point. However, he then goes on to explain how they made it through the coral, which I had kind of no questions about. And because he explained that, all I could think was, well, how did they get back to the resort? How did they get back to the resort so quickly? And just like what, like just how did any of that happen? And I didn't question that at all, again, until he answered how they got through the coral, which I had no questions about. And I guess also, if you had been cast, how would you have addressed this with him in post? That's my question. How did they get back from the resort? Why did he show us them getting back through the coral and then not answer that? It was insane to me. It made it just all kind of like fall apart. Thank you.
I'm glad we're talking about the coral, because the coral to me is a bizarre element in this. We know they escape, but yet they cut to a flashback of the coral. They're holding their breath for an obscenely long period of time, which, again, if you want to put the baby math on it, if they're underwater for that long, are they aging years? Couldn't they just die if you went underwater for a second or a couple seconds? Wouldn't that be like a month underwater? I don't want to get into that, but that's a whole nother fucking thing that I didn't realize until right now. But we know they escaped the coral. Why do we have to see, like, oh, they got stuck? Like, is the coral magical? Like, what? And I don't care. I mean, look, how did they get there? They probably walked. It didn't seem that far away. They took a, you know, they walked back there. They got there by the next morning. I don't know when the new van arrived. It's all shit. It's all shit. And it's lazy shit. And that's what I don't like about it. Next up, from Anonymous, this goes back to the dementia comment. So take it away.
Hey, Paul. So I know you mentioned it at the very end, but, you know, being that it is based on a comic, I find that the way it was adapted just, I don't want to say he ruined it, but there's just a certain feel of it that comes from the comic, simply because Shyamalan seemed to explain with the pharmacy scene, you know, like what is actually happening versus, you know, the comic just leaves it open-ended. You know, the final shot is the baby who ends up surviving, being the one to build the sandcastle, you know, not knowing, like, the terror that is around him and just making the sandcastle and living in the moment, whereas everyone else was panicking and trying to figure out, like, what we're going to do, what's going to happen next, worried about the past, etc. And this is just one thing that I have to disagree with in his change for the schizophrenic doctor. In the comic, he has Alzheimer's. So all the, like, sudden rage, not knowing where he was at the time, makes more sense with Alzheimer's than it does schizophrenia. I mean, that's my opinion on that.
Yes. Now, what makes this more confusing, and we just talked about this, why would you change that? Like, what purpose is there to change that, especially coming from the coming from a person who is dealing with someone going through dementia. It feels personal to him. So either he neglected the script to bring in something personal that he could have easily changed, or he didn't want to, I don't know. I am so confused at this very simple change that I think is a lot more relevant to a lot of people, or maybe I'm speaking out of my ass. I don't want to offend anybody, but I think a lot of us have dealt with people in our lives that have gone through dementia, and that to me is so much more relatable than this other thing, which I know is obviously something that affects many people. But and what I think he does in showcasing schizophrenia is make it so I don't even want to say stereotypical, because not even it, he just makes it fantasy. It's just like it's mind-boggling to make that choice. The one choice that you have the most connection to, you botch, and it's already in the comic book that way? What the fuck? All right. Now we have an email from a fan named Sarah, and she writes, "Hi, Jason, June, and Paul. I just listened to your old episode, and I had to tell you, especially Paul, that I also filmed a self-tape for this movie at the height of the pandemic. What a time! And one of my scenes was the mid-sized sedan scene, and I'm trying to make sense of it, and it was bananas. I felt the same way. I'm going to leave you my audition tape if you need another laugh in the MNSU, that's the M. Night Shyamalan universe." Okay, this is great. Oh my God. Okay, I cannot wait. Here we go, people.
"My thoughts have more colors in them now. Yesterday, I had a few colors, and they were very strong. Now there's more and they're quieter. Does that make sense?"
Oh my God, Sarah, you are amazing. That, why didn't they cast you? They should have cast you. That is a great performance. I think you actually did a great job. And it was so confusing because there was no details about what this movie was about at all. Like at all. I was like trying to make sense of it. Like even my agents didn't know to even say, "Oh yeah, it's about this, you know, island where people get older." No, it was none of that. So for you to deliver that in a way that feels like it could have fit in the movie, bravo. Bravo to you. I love that you did the color scene. People keep sending in your auditions for Old. I know you're out there. We need to see more auditions from Old. What did M. Night miss out on? Sarah did a great job. And you know what? Because Sarah did such a great job, she is the winner of today's corrections and omissions. Hit the theme.
You called in cause you have something to say. Tall Paul Shear is here to show you the right way. If your question was the best, I bet you're feeling great. But you're not getting shit from how did this get made. No, you're not getting shit from how did this get made.
Way to go, Sarah. You did it. You did the ultimate sacrifice for the show. You gave us a little bit of yourself in your audition, and you actually killed it. So you showed off as good as you are. That was Devin Helmer with a great new theme. Thank you, Devin, for that. And let's just take a moment to reflect on everything that we've been through, and we'll be right back right after this. How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, Regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Today's episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Well, guess what, people? This is the deal for you. It's Philo. Philo's got movies. It's got shows. And it's got live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Philo has unlimited DVR for 1 year, so you can save all of your favorite shows and you can watch them on your own schedule. That's right. It also allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams. That's right. Mom can be in the kitchen. Dad can be out in the man cave. And Sister Tina can be in her own room. Never miss a minute of shows, because there's no better way to watch TV when Philo has more than 70 channels like ID, Lifetime, and MTV. So try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/bonkers. That's philo.tv/bonkers to get 50% off your first month. Today's show is brought to you by BetterHelp. People, how is your social battery right now? You know what I'm talking about? You know, do you feel drained? Do you feel bursting with energy? Well, it's very easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin. I mean, I do it all the time, but sometimes we have to figure out the right amount of socializing and maybe the right ways to recharge. Maybe you're an introverted extrovert. That's what I consider myself. Maybe you're just an introvert. You got to figure out how to pace yourself. And therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bonkers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bonkers. People, my buddy, my co-host, Jason, is back. We're going to talk about books. We're going to talk about audiobooks. We're going to talk about Star Wars. We're going to talk about Vin Diesel's Instagram posts. And Jason's going to rattle off a list of things that are going to blow your mind, because we were running out of time. He's like, I just got to get it out. So get out your pens, get out your paper, and Matthew Hubbard, hit the theme.
We all know Paul and Jason. Did you know they're best friends? They stick together when times are tough, friend besties till the end. They chat about things they like to do, shows and movies and comic books too. We all know Paul and Jason. Did you know they're best friends?
Jason, it's November and things are looking up, but you and I are still in our closets. We are still kind of home, and there is always going to be a chance or a time for a little Quar chat.
We got to make time to talk that Quar.
We gotta get into it.
A lot of you people in the country are out and in the world, for that matter. If you're a worldwide listener, shout us out. Tell us how it's going where you are. But I'm still spending 99% of my time in the house.
Me too. I'm going away. I went away to Hawaii. I had a great time in Hawaii.
Nice.
Hawaii is very safe. I will say this. Got my booster. Did you get your booster?
I got my booster.
Yes.
Boosted, baby.
Yes.
I feel very lucky to have been able to get my booster.
And my kids are now vaxxed, which is exciting. And I look forward to seeing you more, because we actually saw each other for the first time just recently. And that's so crazy.
Just I feel like 2 weeks ago. Not even.
It's so nuts. People are like, that's the first time you've seen Jason? I was like, yes, but there is a connection that I feel to you through this screen.
Oh,
where it didn't feel
like
too long. Well,
that's the weird thing. We're so in contact. We're so in... You know, I'm looking at you, I'm texting with you, like we're so in each other's world, but yes, like whatever, 10 days ago is the first time I've seen you in person
since
probably the Vancouver show in February 2020.
Holy shit.
I think.
That is not I mean, that probably is exactly
right. I think
right.
That's right. That weekend was the last weekend I really went out, you know?
Wow. Because I didn't do that last Facebook show at UCB Theater that we were doing.
I didn't either.
Then. Yeah, so there we go. Oh, man. Well, I mean, there's so much good stuff to talk about.
And oh, my God.
I'm excited.
An embarrassment of riches.
I want to just call it this thing that I'm reading right now that I think you will like.
Go for it.
A friend of the podcast, Edgar Wright.
Yeah.
Made this great movie, Shaun of the Dead. And I know last night in Soho, I haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
I haven't ventured out to the movie theater that much. But, okay. But I will say this. There is a book that Clark Collis wrote called You've Got Red on You, How Shaun of the Dead Was Brought to Life. And it is a great oral history of Shaun of the Dead, done with full access and and just embraced by everybody involved. And if you love that movie, I think that this book is on the level of, I just read that one about Chinatown as well.
Yeah, like, so good.
So good.
That's
so,
a good one. There's a good one. There's a good one about Goodfellas as well.
Oh, really?
I'd like to read that. Although I think the other two are better. The one about Shaun of the Dead and the one about Chinatown are just a little bit better as books. But the Goodfellas one, it has just good stories in it, you know?
I would love to.
Good stories. It's an okay book, but good. There's some really good stories.
I wonder if there's one about Copland, because when...
Oh, funny.
I was working with... I'm going to be very selective and not revealing any name, but I will say this. I had a friend who was beckoned to Copland, to the set of Copland. And
Copland, just for very quickly, a James Mangold film, early James Mangold film, starring Sylvester Stallone, you know, like
Ray
Liotta. Performance in which Stallone puts on a lot of weight. He does a character actor turn in this movie and was like pretty well received in it. Yeah.
It's a really great movie, actually. Like a really, like, huge cast.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people did think like, oh, it had like the feeling of Goodfellas because it was like Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, Harvey Keitel, Rappaport, Janine Garofalo, Stallone. It was a great, cool cast, Robert Patrick. Anyway, my friend was called out to the set and what he saw on that set and the stories, and they're not even like, this person was an asshole. It was just the machismo of the set and being on the set. And and the posturing made me like just it kill it. Like it's some of the best stuff. And I feel like Goodfellas may have that same kind of that
Goodfellas
same kind of
has really interesting good stuff. Really, you know, and it's also like it's also goes into a lot of like how hard it was to get them to cast Ray Liotta.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that was like a year and a half process,
right? It was a huge process, and it was all sorts of other people were considered for that part, really interesting stuff. Like, you know, good, if you like those kind of good behind-the-scenes kind of stories, I thought it was good.
Book
I
is
listened to it as an audiobook.
That book is called Made Men, The Story of Goodfellas, written by Glenn Kenny.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the other one we talked about was The Big Goodbye, Chinatown.
That one I love.
That one is wonderful in the last years of Big Hollywood, and that is
And the
is
one you
by,
mentioned, the yeah. one that's about Shaun of the Dead, I also got it and have started it, but haven't gotten too far into it.
No,
and
just
another
been, like,
book that you shouted out
around.
A couple a while ago, which is fantastic, is our friend Tom Sharpling's book.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it great?
Which he sent me and is phenomenal. So
I really loved it.
Haven't yet, please seek out Tom Sharpling's book. And if you like Sharpling, if you like our stuff, I suspect you'll like Sharpling. Listen to his podcast. Listen to his, listen to The Best Show. It's like one of the best, longest, funniest, most, he's just one of the greats. So,
and by
like,
the way, Sharpling's book is called It Never Ends. There's audiobooks, there's hardcovers, Kindles, whatever you want. You can get all these books. Sam Wasson wrote the Long Goodbye. That's the Chinatown one.
And just while we're on books and audiobooks, I'll just take a brief moment to say that, you know, the second in the Thrawn Ascendancy series has come out, The Greater Good, it's called. This is This is young Grand Admiral Thrawn before he's a Grand Admiral. This is when he's still just working in the Chiss expansionary defense army or whatever. Really great. And the third one is about to come out. So if you're Thrawn, if you're interested in Thrawn or you're obsessed with the Chiss ascendancy as I am, get involved. Now that's, you know what? That's all I'll say. I'm not going to go too deep into Star Wars.
I'm going to give you one more book because we're on the books of it all. I just finished Phoebe Robinson's Don't Sit on My Bed in Your Outside Clothes. I love Phoebe Robinson.
Nice.
She her stand-up special is on HBO right now. She's a great writer who has a TV show, I think, coming out on Freeform. But her books are fantastic. And she does something that I think is so interesting, which is they are personal essays interweaved with social commentary. They're incredibly smart. They're really well written. This is her third book, and they're all great. I almost think this might be my favorite of her books, but just because I just read it. But if you like Phoebe, it's another great audiobook. And I'm a big believer in, I read Tom Sharpling's book, but when you have something like this, like Phoebe's book, like Tom's book, you want to hear it read by Phoebe and Tom.
Well, it's that thing too, like our friend Nick Offerman has a new book coming out.
Yes.
And I'm excited to read it, but I was like, oh, I might wait for the audiobook just because
that's
it's
how
Nick
I feel.
Reading it. And that's like, there's nothing better than those people who are like David Sedaris or those people who are such good performers of their book, whose voices are so uniquely tethered to how they write and how I like to process them. So, you know, I'm excited for Nick's upcoming book as well.
I agree. I have a copy of it right here. And it is, that is the big, I wrestle with that all the time because it, I don't know. Kevin Hart had a book that he wrote about his life. And what I loved about his audiobook was at the top, he was like, I'm going to give you the gist of what my book is. Like it was.
It's not like a direct reading. It's like a.
Yes.
I get
and
that.
I love that. I just love
more
that.
More conversational.
Exactly. And it had a great feel to it and a flow. And he was able to comment, walk out of stuff. It felt like a stand-up performance in a way, but a much, you know, obviously within, you know, within the boundaries of the book, but it's just so nice. It's so nice. And I know that you like listening to Thrawn. I mean, who's reading Thrawn there? Is there somebody doing a great Thrawn voice in that audio book?
Well, it's the guy who does all of, it's the guy, I think his name is, I can't remember his name. Timothy Zahn writes them all. And I think the guy, the
Name. Timothy Zahn writes these?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
I think
the guy's name is Mark. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds and I'll tell you. New York Times.
Is Mark Thompson.
Mark Thompson. Thank you so much. Who's great and who's been reading, who reads all of the Thrawn books.
So the
first Thrawn series that was contemporary, that was more contemporary with Thrawn's like introduction into the Empire and rise through the ranks of the Empire. And these are prequel books to a prequel trilogy to that, which is young Thrawn kind of rising through the ranks in the Chiss ascendancy.
Oh my. Okay. I love it.
I'm like so deep into like Thrawn and so excited that the Ahsoka show has announced that Hayden Christensen is going to appear somehow as Anakin or Darth Vader or both. I mean, are we going to get some sort of, what are we going to get? Are we like how connected to
Jason,
Ahsoka and Vader in Rebels are we going to get? The Twilight of the Apprentice. What's going to happen?
I need to tell you that I won't even tell you offline because I know how much it means to you. I've heard some things that are cooking up at Lucasfilm.
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to tell you a word, but it's good. It's really good. And there was one specific. It's a very tiny. It's not like, Harrison Ford's back. It's nothing big. It was just a type of character that is coming into the world in one of the series. And I was like, I've never seen that in Star Wars. And I'm very, very excited about
that. Okay, great.
Yeah. So a lot of fun Star Wars stuff coming up. And then sadly, our friend, or I don't know if you know him as well as I do, but our friend Maddie Robinson, who worked on Rogue Squadron with Patty Jenkins, that just fell apart. So I was bummed out about that.
Yeah, I just saw that. I don't know any details or anything that's going on, but that was disappointing to hear.
I mean, now we're on the pile of like Star Wars movies that are just
on
like
the feature side. They really can't keep it together. But thank God for Filoni, who is just crushing.
I do believe that there's something. I mean, I know this is silly to say because Star Wars is a movie, but I do believe there's something about a series and Star Wars that works a little bit better.
Or, agree.
You know, it's like you can take your time and build out the world. And
I think that I agree right now. I think that's true. But I absolutely think people could be making Star Wars movies right now and they could work.
Well,
they're approaching it, though, is so ass backwards that
they need to go DC with
correct.
It.
Correct. They need to get Snyder in.
Yeah. Like they need to get Snyder in there, make it darker. literally just visually darker. But Guillermo del Toro, he pitched ideas. It didn't bite on any of his ideas. The Game of Thrones guys, they had a thing. I haven't heard anything about that. You know,
it's dead.
So there you go.
I don't know what's going on with Rian Johnson's proposed trilogy. No. I don't know if that's dead now. I'm genuinely I'm heartbroken for the death of the Star Wars cinematic stuff. But hopefully it will come out. Maybe good Star Wars movies will be an outgrowth of the series.
And
that's the thing. Maybe they'll introduce characters in the series that will then get a movie or something.
At the risk of repeating ourselves, I will say, if we haven't mentioned it and you haven't checked it out, you got to check out the Colin Trevorrow comic book version of his script that was not made as the third film following Rian Johnson's Star Wars, which I think was really well done.
Better. Mostly better. Yeah. Not perfect by any means.
But if they shot that script, I think it would have been a better movie.
I would have liked it better than The Last Jedi. Not The Last Jedi. I'm sorry. Rise of Skywalker, rather. Yes.
Which I started watching the other night on TV.
Jedi. Yeah. Oh, no, I can't.
Yeah, I know. I was watching it and I was like, this is.
But when I will you, say, I've jump now into watched it. Yeah. Star Wars Visions multiple times through. I know we didn't really get too deep into it.
I know
it,
we haven't
talked about it in the past, which is fine. And now we're farther enough away from it. But just because it relates, episode one of Star Wars Visions, The Duel, which is that incredible kind of Kurosawa episode. I mean, a lot of them reference Kurosawa, but this one especially, The Duel. There is now a book featuring that Ronin character. There is now a book and an audiobook, which I just got, that is a full novel about that guy. So to me, I'm like, make that now spin him into a movie, even though it's non-canonical. Make him give us a movie with this person.
Well, by the way, did you know that The Village Bride has been submitted for the Academy Awards?
I saw that.
Yeah. Interesting.
The Village Bride, unimpeachably just like an incredible piece of television.
I mean okay. Well, all right. Let's
Star Wars. We said we wouldn't talk too much.
I know.
About
and then we got into it. Yeah,
to.
We got into,
Let's
we got too much
Let's
into
go.
It.
Let's
all right. Oh man.
I will say, sorry, just because we were talking about books. So I'll just very briefly list the two books that are on my list and we can just move on.
Yeah.
One we talked about with Ed Brubaker recently, his third Reckless book just came out. It's fantastic.
It's great.
Get it while you can. And then starting, I believe, next week is going to be Disney Plus's Marvel's Hawkeye series.
Yes. My buddy was the showrunner of that.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And I'm very excited. We've talked.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. And
good.
And I will
so
say
my,
that.
My
yeah.
assumption is, based on what I've seen so far, is a lot of this series is going to be based on the Matt Fraction, David Ahas book. That came out, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. 10 or 12 years ago. It's called Hawkeye, and it is primarily a book about Hawkeye owning an apartment building in Bed-Stuy and kind of getting young Hawkeye, who's part of the new Avengers, as his kind of sidekick, and what a fuck-up he is, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like pieces of that are going to be
pieces
used
of it,
in
yes.
the show.
Because
so
I think
I was just
going
to
still
shout it out so people could read it in case they were the same way that I was like, read Tom King's Vision book before WandaVision, even though it's not a one-to-one.
Right.
There's stuff in here and it's also, I will say this, one of my favorite comic series of the last 20 years, is Fraction and David Aja's book.
There's
an entire issue that is from the point of view of Hawkeye's dog.
it's so good. It's so good. Yeah. And I love the way it's drawn. Yeah, you're right. The drawing of it. But all right. I think, Jason, what I really need to talk to you about this week, because I think it's important to talk about, and people have been requesting us to talk about it.
Oh.
Is the post that Vin Diesel put up this week about Fast 10 and 11. And if you have not read it, I'm just going to, this week on Saturday, Vin Diesel posted a picture of himself and The Rock from one of the Fast and Furious movies. At this point, I can't really tell which one. I believe it's Fast 5. Can I
interrupt you briefly?
Yeah.
Because there's a picture, and it's an individual picture of Vin and an individual picture of The Rock. They're not sharing the frame, I don't believe. And Vin has been photoshopped to be bigger than The Rock.
Well, it looks like he took fan art that actually moved.
Is that it?
Well, because they are in one frame. It's Vin getting in The Rock's face, but it looks like they were pushed together and Vin was put through a machine that made him larger. Like, he is larger.
Yeah, because Vin is not bigger than The Rock the way this picture looks.
No.
And I'm almost positive that's from the movie that they shared no scenes together.
I think that this is
the other movie,
the first movie.
This is the
Rock in his full military. This is the Rock when he was still
introduced.
A cop.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So Vin Diesel writes, and I mean, we should do it like the trailer where we just stop and take a moment to like reflect on it.
Yeah,
like,
go for it.
All right, here goes. My little brother, Dwayne.
Already. I mean, little brother. Like diminutively speak to The Rock, who towers over you in every way, is incredible.
I mean, my little brother. And then he calls him Dwayne, which I also believe is a slight. Yeah. Like, and I know that you probably won't want to call him hey, Rock. Although I don't know. Do people call him The Rock?
People call him Dwayne on set? Like, is, you know, like,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
I don't
maybe.
Know. That one is up for grabs.
But my little brother, Dwayne,
is definitely condescending, I feel like.
Incredibly, and it harkens back to the thing that Vin Diesel released when Fast 9 came out, where he said, "Hey, I was tough on Vin to get a better performance out of him. Like, he has been one to stoke this fire." So, my little brother Dwayne, the time has come. The world awaits the finale of Fast 10. As you know, my children refer to you as Uncle Dwayne in my house. There is not a holiday that goes by that they and you don't send well wishes. So I guess what he's saying is, I know this is public, but we all know you are sending me a Christmas card and I'm sending you a Christmas card. Like, he's showing you how the sausage is made here, but
we send this on a text chain that we are on. The public theater of this performative public theatrics of making the private public, you know, like is really not subtle. It's very clumsy.
It is like that Kevin Nealon SNL character where he did like the trying to
Subliminal Man.
Yeah, it's like it's there. We see it. We see what's happening here. Yes. And so he goes, the time has come. Legacy awaits. I told you years ago that I was going to fulfill my promise to Pablo, Paul Walker.
Whose daughter he just walked down the aisle when she got married.
And I believe, like, I will say that I have issues sometimes in thinking that Paul Walker was like, if anything is to ever happen to me, please.
Yeah.
Finish this franchise. Please take care of it. Not my family. Take care of this franchise. But anyway, that's a whole other argument. God bless. And I love that he is continuing this. I swore that we would. Okay. I told you years ago it was time that we were going to fulfill my promise to Pablo. I swore that we would reach and manifest the best Fast in the finale. And that is 10. I say this out of love. But you must show up. Do not leave the franchise idle. You have a very important role to play. Hobbs can't be played by no other. I hope that you rise to the occasion
and
fulfill.
Hobbs can't be played by no other. I mean,
by the way, now he's threatening him to be like,
I'll
just recast you.
How do now, you recast The Rock?
I guess my issue is this, and this is what I really think about here. Fast and Furious is a giant franchise. We know this. It's huge.
Right.
But does Vin Diesel not quite realize how big The Rock is, too?
Or like, how big Hobbs and Shaw was?
Yeah. Like, I feel like there is an element here that is missing, which is...
Yeah.
It's not like... it is like... It's a very interesting... It's an interesting point of view for him to take. Like... People would be equally mad with him if he recast him. But I think what he's trying to do is say, like, I'm falling on my sword.
Yeah.
This
is my last ditch effort. I'm begging you to come do this. Don't make me recast you. It's like, right. I can't do that. But, you know, he's basically saying, like, that's what that's what the studio's going to make him do or something.
Well, it's like,
can you imagine the studio being like, we're going to have to recast the star of Hobbs and Shaw?
Here's the other thing. I saw Fast 9. You saw Fast 9.
Yeah.
We enjoyed Fast 9.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to see The Rock. I didn't miss The Rock. These stories can be told. There's like a cast of thousands here. Now, if I'm The Rock, I go, I don't want to lose face. Yeah. I want to continue doing Hobbs. I want to have a whole Hobbs. I want to do my Hobbs as James Bond, whatever, yeah, miniseries.
Of course.
I think Hobbs shows up like Charlize, pop yes. him in a room. For a day, have him yep. shoot 8 scenes and pepper him through the movie. He doesn't have to be on set with Vin and get him in and
out. I think I got confirmation that I think Charlize was on set for 2 days.
2 days. Okay. Yep. So 1 day in the box, one yep. day in the
one
plane.
Day outside.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Great.
and that was it. No, I agree. Like, I think I can't imagine. Here is my prediction.
Yeah.
My prediction is that both Hobbs and Shaw. And obviously Charlize,
yeah.
but both Hobbs and Shaw will be in Fast 10 and 11. And I'm here on record saying I think Giselle will be included somehow. Gal Gadot's character, to be clear. Giselle yes. from the earlier movies.
I agree with you. I think no one ever dies in the Fast and Furious world. I think that Giselle. I think that Gazelle can come back.
She moves like a gazelle, but her name is Giselle.
But I do believe that. Here's why I believe the feud will end, because The Rock is good at business.
Yes.
And I think The Rock knows, ultimately, I don't like this guy. I never have, but we all benefit. We all get a piece of the
if the studio is smart, which they are, they know what they're sitting on,
yeah.
they're going to look at this and be like, these are the last two movies, right?
Right.
These movies are going to be huge.
Yeah.
Money makers. So they're going to throw so much money at Gal Gadot, at The Rock, at Statham, at anybody whose reluctance is holding them back. And at some point, there's just going to, I think, become a number and whatever they're asking for, i.e., I don't want to have to do scenes with Vin
or I get to punch him in the dick. Like, here,
whatever.
I'll come back.
Yeah.
Let me get one shot, one dick shot
one dick
on.
Shot.
Or let me look down at his dick and go, wow, that's a small dick. Like, one thing that you get to
that would
say.
Be incredible. That'd be incredible. But I do think all of those people will find their way back, because I just can't imagine that. I feel like the studio's just going to keep trying to make them,
well,
to give them what they want is what I mean.
Well, and I do believe that, like, there might be a piece of the puzzle. Like, hey, here's that passion project The Rock wants to make. Go,
perfect.
Will,
yep.
like, universe,
we'll,
come,
we'll, yep.
let's
yep.
do it. Because I also believe that The Rock, I mean, first of all, the prophecy must come true. We all know that that is, you know, the world needs to go forward. We all know this is going to happen. Notre Dame has predicted it. But the idea that I think The Rock does understand that he owes it to the people, not Vin Diesel. And,
yep.
and he knows how good he is. And if The Rock comes in and, like, steals the movie.
Oh, yeah.
What an epic fuck you.
I mean, it would be incredible. It would be incredible. Dude, I cannot wait to find out what these movies are going to be.
Like,
now that they've gone to space, like, what possibly could they do to heighten these movies?
Well, this is, okay, so this is my issue, which is simply this. I just saw the new James Bond movie, which I loved.
Oh, nice. Oh, I haven't
coming,
seen it yet, but I've
it
just
It is coming out on VOD this week.
Yes, I know.
So, okay.
I've just rewatched the others
Which
preparation.
I would love to, let's next Quar Chat talk about all of this, but I'll say this. In watching the last two Avengers and now watching No Time to Die, both of those films really landed incredibly gracefully. Like, you know, they just, they had this like, and they're really well done and they're really smart. And those are heightened worlds. But I believe Fast and Furious is too heightened to figure, like, I don't know how you do it.
The other thing that Fast has a problem with right now is so many of the Fast movies were written by one person.
Yes.
And then now, only now have they started getting new writers in. So Fast 9 was written by somebody different.
Yeah.
And I think Fast 10 and 11 are going to be written by different people also. So
yes. It says Gary Scott Thompson is going to be the guy who is going to be writing, I believe, both.
So the question will be, like, you know, there's something about the cohesiveness of Marcus and McFeely writing through the end of the Avengers, kind of through the end of Phase 3. You know what I mean?
Right.
But the real, right? Marcus, I said that, right?
I know Marcus and Ophelia, that's Marvel.
That's who did the Marvel guy, right?
Yes.
So there's something cohesive about that. They've been writing towards it all this time.
They
and
basically
now
took over at Winter Soldier and then kind of drove the Russos through. Yeah.
And the Russos. So, you know, it'll be interesting because it'll be new people writing, and that is going to be what, so this whole thing is going to be, they're going to have to land the plane with new people writing all of these, both of these next.
Well, now I'm looking online, and like, again, I like, we don't know, and I think it's, you know, we'll see. They're also saying that, but actually, sorry, that Chris Morgan might be coming back here for Fast.
Yeah, yes. Oh, great.
Okay, because the characters are Gary Scott Thompson. I was confused. Sorry.
Oh,
and,
I see. Okay,
all right,
cool. All
right. So it might be that. But I will say this. Yes, but I believe that as much as I love this world, and I almost don't think it should end. Fast and Furious has the entourage problem, which is it always wraps up pretty nicely. Like, you know, it's like there is no hanging. There's no like hanging. Oh, my God. Well, what are they going to do now? I mean, yes, Charlize is still out there, but it doesn't feel like they're impending. They're never in danger.
It's not a cliffhanger. Every one of the, what's interesting, it's so true you say that, because these are a set of movies that we really understand are ongoing, and yet they never end in a cliffhanger.
Right.
Like, which most
Something's
other movies
bring them
in a
back
series
in.
Would. So they then have to, every beginning of a movie, start from scratch to build it back up again. So what's interesting is I don't have unanswered questions from 9 that 10 needs to resolve.
I mean, there are
resolve.
Things, but like there are things, but it doesn't really make a difference. And I will say this, what is interesting about James Bond, and I think what made this Bond
different.
I love different,
that we can talk like this about Fast and Furious, like it's, like it really, like we're talking about, like it is unspooled, and it's like, this is important cinema.
We need to break this down. There is something about James Bond, and I think the reason why this film works as a completion of the Daniel Craig saga is because there is enough hanging things in each movie. Now, while each movie felt like a James Bond movie, there was enough stuff that hung there. And I think even though when it was shoehorned in pretty atrociously, in my opinion, Inspector with the Blofeld character, they were working towards like
they were trying to do a thing.
Yes.
You know, there's much within the Daniel Craig movies. There's just even and watching them just recently.
Yeah.
It sticks out even more. There is serialized growth. And, you know, you start to really understand Bond cumulatively as a human being in a way that is different from the previous Bonds, you know. And what's interesting is they've been willing to take that chance and make him, you know, like I think Bond really changed when Daniel Craig took over and they really made it feel more like Bourne.
Yes.
You know, so it felt more like a character study inside of a spy story rather than just spy stories.
I think if Bond is smart, they will continue to say,
are we doing Bond?
We're going
to
do Bond.
Are we taking over
Here
Bond?
It is. Yeah, I got to talk
is
to you about
Is this the announcement?
I got to talk to you about some of the casting.
Oh, anyway. God. The Matt Gourley and those guys are going to be pissed.
I know, they're going to be mad. And they're very big Bond up for it.
They're
we gotta
big,
do it.
They're
we
better
got,
Bond fans than we are.
And we got to do it. We just got to do it.
We got to say yes.
We got to say yes. But I think the issue is if they go forward with Bond, the only way I think to do it is to tell a story like this for each actor who approaches the role, that they have a little bit of like, it's five movies, it's four movies. It's, we're telling you a story of a 007. And one of the cool things they do, and again, without saying anything, they do a very nice tip of the hat in this last movie to the Bond franchise, which I think is really interesting. And I think that that's, and that I think is like what I think they need to continue to do. It's like, you know, because it's like, there has been those conversations. Are there multiple Bonds? Is this, is Bond a code name? Is 007 a code name? Whatever it is. And there's interesting things to be said about that. But anyway, Fast and Furious, I think, has that problem. I think Fast and Furious has that problem where it's like, I don't know where the character growth is because they all there's none. And
they
I'm fine with
They're all plot based now.
And
Fast
I'm
and Furious
fine
has
with
become plot based essentially, which is fine.
Like they're living their lives. They have their kids.
Totally.
Like, you know, there's nothing left on the table to really unearth. And even we talked about this when the John Cena character, even when the John Cena character comes in, even that is left like, and now we're friends. So it's to what end? To what end are we going to, like, is there yet a sister? Does the dad come back? Like, you have to invent something for
and
them to rally
behind.
Doing.
Yes. I feel like that's where they're in a tough spot because they've got to finish a 12 movie franchise inclusive of Hobbs and Shaw that really has no serialization inside of it at all. You know, every movie kind of stands alone. And some of them directly contradict each other. The timeline is all sorts of a mess. And like we've talked about many, many, many times before, this is a movie series that started about street racers and petty thieves and has now, at this last stage, been about people who are the world's greatest hackers flying in outer space in a DeLorean.
I don't know.
I don't know how you justify that. Where is the, what is this? And I love every goddamn minute of it, but this would be a very difficult challenge, I feel like, for whoever's coming in to kind of try and wrap this up. This is tough. This is tough.
I mean, I don't, you know, look, but if they want us, we'll show up and we'll get in there and we'll roll up our sleeves and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I'll put the work in. I'll put the elbow grease in. Come on.
I mean, we got to do it. And now, Jason, we have been talking for almost 40 minutes. So I want to just, let's see what you got on your little sheet.
I'm going to run through things that I've been watching and or listening to that I think are absolutely worth your time.
Okay, great. I love it.
Ready?
Go.
Go. I mentioned it on a mainline episode recently, but the other two, season two, incredible. Absolutely an incredible season of television. So funny, so heartwarming, like an incredibly sweet but hard jokes. Star Trek Lower Decks, Paul, which you are on, and June, I finally got to that episode.
Oh my gosh,
fantastic.
Right? Fun.
So good. Season two of Lower Decks, incredible. Ultra City Smiths, I'm a voice in that. The show is incredible. What We Do in the Shadows, season three, incredible.
I just started watching
Paranormal.
That. Great.
Wellington Paranormal, incredible, which is the spinoff show of the movie. Of the movie What We Do in the Shadows. So it is like Wellington's Paranormal X-Files department.
Yes, I've heard about
but
this.
But it's bumbling and it's fucking hilarious. The BBC version of the TV series Ghosts, they have remade it now for American television. I don't know who. I haven't watched that.
Oh, yes,
but the BBC version has a lot of overlap with the people who did Staff Let's Flat, which I loved, and this show is wonderful. Love Life, season two. Love Life, season one, absolutely terrible. I hated it. Didn't finish it, wasn't enjoying it. Love Life Season 2, it's an anthology series, so each season follows a different character's love life. Every episode is a different relationship. This season is William Jackson Harper, who played Chidi on The Good Place and is one of the most electric actors to watch on screen, and he is crushing this season. Really good. Good Timing with Joe Firestone is Joe Firestone's special. When the pandemic began, Joe Firestone started teaching a stand-up comedy class on Zoom to elderly people. And this is a special that includes Joe and those students inside of a comedy special. And it is absolutely incredible.
I love this. There's a woman I follow on TikTok, an older woman who does jokes.
Oh, that's great.
It is so fun.
Bitchin', The Sound and Fury of Rick James is a documentary about Rick James. Okay, great. You mentioned Edgar earlier, Edgar Wright, who has Last Night in Soho out right now. He put out a documentary about Sparks, the band Sparks,
which
a
is finally out,
months ago. The Sparks Brothers, it's on Netflix. It's incredible. Beverly Glenn Copeland is an incredible musician. There's a documentary called Keyboard Fantasy that's available to rent right now. Absolutely transcendent and wonderful. And last but not least, an animated movie called The Spine of Night is one of the most incredible animated metal movies. Describing it as metal because it is like a high fantasy, brutal, animated kind of
incredible
fantasy
story. Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible. It's called The Spine of Night, and it's really, I urge you, if you are somebody who gets stoned, get stoned and watch The Spine of Night. I've watched
great.
It twice now. It's so good. The new season of The Plot Thickens, TCM's podcast, is about Lucy. The new season of You Must Remember This is about Sammy and Dino. That has just started. And the new season of Slow Burn is about the LA riots. All three of these are some of my favorite podcasts starting new seasons that are so far very promising.
I will say one more thing to you, and I don't know if you've seen this, and we can talk about it next time as well.
Yeah.
Inside Number 9. You know about this show?
Oh, I watched the first one. Yes.
Yeah, this is really interesting. It's a British black comedy series that's an anthology. Every episode is different. The only thing that keeps them all together is the number 9.
Yep.
And 12 Days of Christine might be a good one for people to start on. It was recommended to me, and I've watched a handful, I think you will like that. I also...
I've so far only watched the first episode of
and
that series.
I believe A Quiet Night In is the other one that I think are
episodes of Inside Number.
Yes, those are. Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yes, it's. I'm going to double check on that, but I know that 12 Days of Christine, you can just jump in, and that's great.
Awesome.
And of course, this time of year, Jason, a pleasure as always. We'll chat next time. More to talk about. What a delight.
Great to see you, Paul.
Talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now that we got old out of the way, let's talk about next week's movie. We are going from the twist and turns of death to a match made in heaven. That's right. Next week, we are watching the 1987 masterpiece Made in Heaven, starring Timothy Hutton and Kelly McGinnis. Here's a short breakdown of the plot. Timothy Hutton meets Annie in heaven and can meet her again, if he can find her, 30 years later on Earth. Rotten Tomatoes rates this film a 50% on the tomato meter, but the audience gives it a whopping 83%. Here's what Roger Ebert had to say about the movie. Made in Heaven is original and even spellbinding in the scenes set in heaven. It finds nothing new to say about Earth. All right. Wow. Ebert laying it down. Bring me one way and then twisting it just like M. Night. Take a listen to the trailer.
Their love was fated by the stars, written on the wind, and blessed by the angels.
I'd like to marry you.
According to heaven, we already are.
But now, she must leave to begin a new life.
Well, how long do you stay up here before you go back to Earth?
I'm going, aren't I? I'm gonna be somebody's baby.
And he's got to find her, or lose her, forever.
And send me back as a boy.
Can anything on Earth stand in the way of a match made in heaven?
I'll find her.
You can rent Made in Heaven on most Apple, Amazon, Vudu, and YouTube services for only $1.99, and please check your local public libraries where you can find these movies for free and even rent them online for free. We will see you next week on the show, and remember to rate and review the show. Check out our article in the Wall Street Journal. Visit us on Facebook, IG, and Twitter, and you can watch the Matinee Mondays on my YouTube channel. You can join our Discords on my Discord or How Did This Get Made's Discord. That's discord.gg/hdtgm or /Paul Scheer. And for all the How Did This Get Made archives, sign up for Stitcher Premium. For a free one-month trial, use the code BONKERS. That's BONKERS. And you can listen to every episode of How Did This Get Made, even the new ones, commercial-free. A big thank you to our super producer, Cody Fisher, our MVP, Molly Reynolds, our audio engineer, Devin Bryant, and of course, everyone who makes this show possible, which is you. That's right. You all make this possible. And there's one person who makes it sound all good, puts it all together, makes sure there's not a mistake in the mix. And that person is July Diaz. July, I tip my hat to you. We'll see you next time on How Did This Get Made for a little movie called Made in Heaven.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.